Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to Arizona Good Business Radio, featuring leaders in the Arizona business community working to build a lasting impact throughout our state. They're doing good business. I'm your host, Thomas Barr, Vice President of Local First Arizona, a statewide organization advocating for and celebrating locally owned businesses. We're the largest local business coalition in North America, providing resources to over 3,000 small businesses and raising awareness of the benefits of building a stronger local economy. I am excited to introduce today Mr. Russ Perry, the founder and CEO of Design Pickle, for an engaging conversation. Russ, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. As we were chatting in the pre-roll, pre-interview, I've been a huge fan of everything that you guys have been doing for a long time. I know you guys have been established here, and it was kind of exciting to see this get coordinated. And thanks again for taking the time.
Yeah, absolutely. Your team has been awesome and a reflection, obviously, of your leadership and culture that you built at the company. Awesome to be talking to a fellow Arizona native, albeit Globe Miami, or you say specifically Miami.
Well, I think I took a chance with you sometimes have to say Globe Miami, but I did take a chance just saying Miami, Arizona, and you knew what I was talking about.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I'm a Glendale kid. but most people know what Glendale is.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
What was that like growing up in Miami?
You know, I only did it for about a year and a half of my first year and a half of life. And so I don't really remember much, but
so wild times, right?
I ate a lot of, you know, baby food or whatever you eat. But, you know, I spent most of my childhood in Tucson. I had a brief stint in Sierra Vista. My family was all from like Southeast Arizona. So I've seen all of the small towns there, Safford, Morenci, and that's where my dad was from. But I would say home for me is Tucson, Arizona. And then, you know, did my childhood there, graduated from high school, and got accepted to ASU, and has basically been in the Valley since 2001.
That's cool. You don't really hear too much about, rural Arizona fostering tech entrepreneurs.
Well, I don't know if I would have become a tech entrepreneur had I stayed in rural Arizona. No offense to those in rural Arizona. But I do think that, you know, in general, I find a lot of conversations that find me a bit of an anomaly that I am a native and I've stayed here and I've built a tech company. So I think those three things stacked up don't always line up accordingly.
Sure. Let's talk about that company you started. How long has Design Pickle been around? What do you guys do? Why are you different? Give us the whole spiel.
So I would say I'll start with what I did before Design Pickle because it ties right in. I grew up with a very entrepreneurial mindset. I think probably a lot of the people you interview, I was always trying to solve problems. Sometimes got me in trouble when I was younger because I thought, hey, these rules the teachers have, I think they don't apply. I'm going to do something different. But turns out that's a great skill for an entrepreneur, which I finally was able to mature as I graduated. And, my path took me down the design path. I studied design at Arizona State University and shortly thereafter, you know, got a graphic design job. So this was where I started kind of learning about visual communication, the business of it, and had a couple employment opportunities with some really cool brands. I mean, Apple, I worked for Apple both on the retail side in the Apple store. I was actually worked at the first Apple store in Arizona, which was the Arizona Biltmore
one.
Yeah. And I loved the job. Like I loved working for it, not just because it was Apple and it was like kind of my dream company, but I just literally got paid all day long to be creative and help people. Like it was just problem solving and having fun.
Yeah.
I also worked for a company called LG, which most people know about their electronics and TVs. I worked for a less glamorous division doing countertop sales. They actually had a big plant out in the West Valley, actually over off of like Olive and the 101 in the East, in the West Valley.
Okay. That's more my hood then.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I knew. I mean, you say Glendale, like that's where I drove. I commuted there every day for like 2 years.
Wow.
But why that matters is I learned a lot about consumer branding. And so I had about an 8.5 year stint running creative agencies. I did two that got me by, paid the rent, but it was really a hard business model. And I know a lot of agency owners in the Valley I'm friends with who were successful and have done really well. I was not one of them. I ended up closing my business in 2014 and did so because I was just so burnt out with this very rough business model where it was high value clients, not very many, no process, no system for what we were doing. Everything was a one-off. Everything was just so much energy and I personally just was like, I cannot do this anymore. Like, this is not the business for me. I became an entrepreneur so I could have freedom and create and make this impact. And I felt like I was a prisoner of my business. Like, I couldn't sleep because if my client called at 10 p.m., I had to answer. And because I was so fearful of losing them. So when I closed the business, I took a long look at what I loved. I love design. I love creativity. And it just so happened that to kind of keep myself afloat, I picked up some consulting and freelance work, like kind of more like a marketing consultant. And I was client number zero for Design Pickle. So Design Pickle today is a creative services platform. So what we do is you sign up. It's like a software subscription where you pay either $500 or $1,000 a month, and you get to work with the creative directly. So we have graphic designers, illustrators. Later this year, we're having motion graphic artists. And so our platform matches you with someone. And then it's like having a fractional team member that you work with every day. They share, you know, you share them with about 5 to 10 other clients. So it's not like they're your full-time employee. But this need was discovered by me first, because when I was consulting, I was like, you know, I can't afford a full-time person. I know the agency world because I just was in it, and that's really expensive and complicated.
Yeah.
You know, finding a freelancer is fine, but it's kind of inconsistent. Maybe I could go to a marketplace and like, same deal though. It's not helpful because I'm always having to like find new providers. So I sort of created the bones of Design Pickle to help my consulting clients. And I didn't realize I had a business until one day my client, another Arizona guy named Josh Rosen, came to me and was like, he's a very understated guy. And he was just like, hey man, thanks for those designs. Like, that really was a helpful project you guys got done. And I had no idea what he was talking about. And what had happened is I had created this creative delivery system where my consulting clients could just request something, the designer would do it and deliver it digitally. That was the light bulb moment. I was like, what if I could just build this out, give small businesses access to a fractional designer, but do it really simple, really streamlined. They don't have to stress about it. They know exactly what they're going to pay every month. Doesn't matter if you request one or 100 things, it's the same price. And so in 2015 was our formal launch, January 2015, Design Pickle was born. It's been a ride ever since. You know, we just celebrated our 6-year birthday. We have about 4,000 clients worldwide.
Wow.
Almost 700 creatives in our organization. You know, I think in the US, we have close to 60 full-time employees. Half of those are here in Arizona. So we have just grown and grown and grown on that same concept. Simple, quick, affordable graphic design and creative services that you get to work with directly.
That's awesome. That's super cool. What is that? The way you describe the company, most people are going to maybe think, Silicon Valley startup, right? But no, you're Arizona based startup and successful, growing, thriving. This is a conversation I continuously push that, you know, Arizona is actually almost a better place for that type of business to launch, because there's so much opportunity here. The opportunity to connect to other people, there's less barriers. Is that the experience you had? And do you get that type of feedback a lot? Like, oh, why Arizona?
For me, I never thought about it. Here's a disadvantage we had is I never thought to be successful, I need to go raise a bunch of money, run this business without, you know, in the negative and build this complicated thing. Like for me, my mindset was I'm going to build a business with the resources I have. I'm going to try to make money from day one, which we did, profit, you know, this crazy concept called profit. And that's just what I knew, you know, because I didn't grow up, say, in a startup scene or in the Valley or the San Francisco Bay Area, like that path wasn't even on my radar. So in hindsight, you know, we built a tech company sort of secondary because I realized, wow, if I'm profitable, I can use these resources. And there's incredible talent here to do so. Like all of my first team members were all Arizona based. You know, we since have hired, we're basically a remote company, even though before COVID, we were always considered ourselves kind of a remote company. So I've had the luxury of hiring even people from around the world, but we've started with this core. But to me, that was just, that was the only plan. Like I didn't know about venture capital and fundraising and all of this kind of stuff. Not to say we would never go down that path, but that was at the core of our business. And then as far as Arizona is concerned, it was so accessible. Mm-hmm. So like I remember the early years, I was sort of had a very loose friendship and mentorship with the former CEO of Infusionsoft, which is now Keap. And I could like just email him and talk to him. And he like stopped by my office one time when we were super small and he gave me so much advice. And I was like, I think because Arizona, there's a lot less barrier of ego and there is a tribe mentality to want to support Arizona-based businesses. I found the access to leadership and guidance from, you know, programmatic stuff like Local First, to, you know, groups like SeedSpot, to other things, there was just like all of these resources that I just sent an email and all of a sudden I have this meeting with someone that's very successful and very smart. And I don't, you know, I've only lived here, so I don't know if that's the case, but I do know, you know, that's I think a unique thing to Arizona that I benefited from tremendously building the business here.
Yeah. Similar. I hear the same thing from other entrepreneurs, similar experience myself. I mean, I feel like it's just, you know, there's less rings to kiss and, you know, dollars to dive through to get to who you need to build a community. And so,
absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think timing wise, I really lucked out because a lot of the people that have had huge successes are, I wouldn't say they're on the tail end of their career, but these were big successes in the 90s, early 2000s, and into kind of the mid 2000s. They, you know, the big companies were built there. And then I'm sort of part of like a next wave. And I have a lot of friends in the tech space, similar age, similar business size. And so we're sort of like a next generation of things that are being built. And all of these people who had done really big things during, you know, the years before us, they're now supporting the scene, and they're kind of like the pioneers, if you will. And now they're supporting groups like mine. And but I also have a lot of peers that are in the same boat, you know, that, and that's what's cool about AZ too, is not just the mentorship. I'm you know, part of Startup AZ, and they're a you know, software tech nonprofit to support groups. And it's like, there's dozens of people building and it's a small community. It's an intimate community, but there are some incredible businesses. And same thing, I could just send an email and it's like that day, oh yeah, here's, do you think about this? And that's that vibe I love, you know, that vibe of connectedness is super unique to here to the Phoenix area.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when I first got introduced to your team, it came out, visited your office, super cool space. Obviously, it's got just a vibe and a culture that just there's this energy that you get just walking in, or at least that I got just walking in. Tell us a little bit about how you committed yourself to building a strong company culture, and what that's been like, and what it's like for your team to work for the company.
Well, it's because I had a horrible company culture in my previous businesses. So, you know, I was a very naive entrepreneur my first 10 years. And it was kind of the Russ Perry show. Like, I felt like me being an entrepreneur was about more about how I felt to say I was an entrepreneur. And it was about me. And I was, you know, the sales guy. I was the idea guy. It was all about me. My postmortem of my first chapter of life was, that's not a very successful model for a business. And so from day zero of Design Pickle, I said, look, Design Pickle is about Design Pickle. It's not about Russ. So I did things like I established core values. I established a mission statement. We established a vision statement. And that then became the DNA of what we were all about. But beyond that, I made sure that, you know, this was a place where it was empowering others and allowing others to grow and creating opportunities for others. And I was simply the conductor, the orchestra conductor of all of that. It wasn't about what I could get out of it. It was, you know, our vision for our company is to change lives through creativity. And I always say to my team, and I say publicly, the lives we change first are those inside the Design Pickle fold. It's my team members. It's the creatives around the globe where we're creating jobs for them in economies that are devastatingly suppressive or oppressive. And you know, I've had team members here in Arizona, myself included, you know, be able to buy a home, you know, go push their life forward. And that vision of changing lives through creativity, through what we're doing for our team, then has the halo effect to be a really healthy business for our company and our clients. So I focused exclusively on like, what kind of place can I create for people to work, the freedom, the support, the creativity and the fun. You know, our Design Pickle logo, if people haven't seen it, is a smiling pickle that I hand drew, you know, like in my kitchen table one night. That just says it all right there. Like, that's the energy we want to give. And strategically too, Thomas, you know, I was a creative, and I'm not saying that this is the case for all creatives, but there are a lot of creatives that are good at design and terrible at running a business. And yeah. So we know a lot of our clients have had bad experiences and are kind of emotionally scarred. And so what we try to provide is like a safe place where it's like, hey, you know what you're going to get, you know what you're going to expect, but my team, and I hear this time and time again, you said at the beginning of the podcast, I want every interaction from the company to be positive, friendly, energetic. So we focus a lot about that internally. And so it's very, 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 very intentional to have that energy and to have that focus of making sure every interaction is positive, making sure we're helpful, making sure we're connecting you to the right solutions. And I mean, just in a week, I'll be giving our like company-wide address. I talk about mission, vision, values. I had our leadership meetings this week. My first three slides, mission, vision, values. Like, I'm a broken record when it comes to that, because that's the glue that then allows us to be held together as we grow and scale.
That's incredible. And it sounds like you're fostering a real home for people that have had maybe not the best experiences with other companies and that they worked for before. Do you see a trend upward in other companies adopting, maybe not the same style, but at least more care for their employees, more care for a good environment, good lives inside and outside of work?
You know, I want to say, yeah, it's this overwhelmingly, you know, positive, sweeping the nation kind of movement. But I'll tell you what, we're still finding a lot of our recent hires are coming from organizations that don't care at all about that. And that's why they're joining Design Pickle. You know, I think there is a fair amount of groups out there who all they're focused on is ROI investor dollars, you know, the bottom line, here's what we expect. And I'm not going to name any names, but we've had some team members come from Fortune 50 companies. You know, you see this, you see their resume and you're like, how do we even recruit this person? This is amazing. But the reason we recruited it is because we have that culture and they don't. So I think as employees are seeking it, but it's not very common. So if you have that inside of your company, it's an incredible tactic and tool for recruitment. I mean, people will want that over some big brand name on their resume. They'll want that over some crazy compensation package. And you'll find that at the end of the day, our team members are working because they believe in what we're doing, not because they just want to get a paycheck.
Yeah. Yeah. Well said. Well said. Well, I wanted to hear and talk to you a little bit about, you know, what the last year's been like. Right now, we are, you know, just over a year, at least in Arizona, of our first shutdown, facing the pandemic, all of that. I would assume that Design Pickle was pretty well set up to respond. And, you know, I'm not sure how much of a pivot you had to do or any adaptations that your company had to take. But what has the last year been like for all of you and your team, and what's been going on your end?
Yeah, so you did hit it off. I mean, prior to COVID, we were effectively a remote company. You know, our clients sign up online, we support them online, our team members work all around the world. You know, I built the company because I love to travel and I wanted to be able to be, you know, anywhere and still run it and have a system that supported that. So we were really structurally, we saw no difference. We have a gorgeous office you mentioned here in Scottsdale. The biggest change was that we had a lot of people coming into the office every day because we had a lot of amenities and kind of cool space. And then they weren't, but we saw them every day on Slack. Nothing missed a beat in terms of what we do. So it's been actually a profitable year for us, a fruitful year for us, because if you think about it logically, we offer creatives virtually online at a lower cost than traditional resources. So we found a huge opportunity for businesses who are now living all online. They don't have as much resources as they may have had in the past. They still need to be creating. And we came in and we found that we had a huge growth over last year of people being willing to try a service like ours. You know, we're not a replacement for a full-time designer. We're not a replacement for an agency. We're not a one-to-one example. We are an addition to what you're doing. And when people need more creative work or they can't afford a resource full-time, we fit in the in-betweens, you know, going from zero to one full-time person. You might have Design Pickle in there for a year or two until you afford the full-time person. You have a creative team of five, but they're overworked. We fit the bill. You can add a couple accounts. And now it's like you have a creative team of seven, but you haven't had to add a full-time employee to it. So we were really positioned well for that. And I will say though, we were freaked out like everyone else a year ago. You know, we didn't know what it was going to happen. In hindsight, we do, but we were very unsure what would happen. But thankfully, we had no layoffs. We almost doubled in size in terms of our full-time employee count last year. We've seen, you know, a 50% increase in usage. So more, you know, we do around 12,000 design jobs a week and, you know, seeing that grow and grow. So we've been there and we've found that like our mission is to be able to be there for our clients, you know, making sure that we're stable. The office was an interesting thing. Actually, in February, I was about to sign a $100,000 PO to buy a bunch more desks and cool stuff. I mean, office furniture is the biggest racket ever because it's so expensive. You're like, I saw the same table at IKEA for $100, but this is a $900 table. Like, I don't understand. But I forgot to sign it. And then the COVID happened and I was like, whew, thank goodness. So what we've actually done is we've rebranded our office. It's called a company hub now. And basically one way to think of a company hub is like a private co-working space. So it's only for our team members. And we have all the amenities, snacks, coffee, meeting rooms, Wi-Fi, like everything you need.
Cool.
But it's an optional space that people can drop by, use. And for me, it's great because we're now never going to outgrow the space. Because it's, you know, even now we only have 5, 6, 7 people here. We could fit 30 comfortably, but that's going to be something that we probably will do in other markets as well. Is, you know, we have a lot of team members on the East Coast. Is how could we now have a company hub network, even maybe around the globe, where anyone who works for Design Pickle has a home, but it's not an office they have to come to every single day.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know co-working spaces in general have struggled over the last year with, you know, people moving home, but I see that model being something that a lot of small businesses pursue as options rather than investing in an entire potential office. If you just have a few staff, you know, you might actually consider that co-working space that you never took a gamble on before because it gives you everything that you needed. So,
yeah. And, you know, we found too, like just yesterday, we have 2 team members and we had our leadership meetings this week. And a half dozen times, I had a quick question. I said, hey, ask the question, got an answer in 2 seconds. And the there's still value in connection. You know, I didn't have to Slack them. I didn't have to, you know, wait. And then I go do something and they respond and I missed their response and it's not clear. So we get on a Zoom to clear it up. But what time can you do Zoom? Oh, I can do Zoom at this time. It was like, hey, what about this? Da-da-da. Okay, does that sound good? Great. But back to it. So,
yeah,
you know, I think there will be a reset in terms of what there will be a resurgence of office in environments, but it'll be much more flexible. And but I cannot imagine us even or any business only existing online, finding the same type of growth and efficiencies as a company that might be partially online, but strategically invests in ways to get people together.
Yeah, absolutely. Well said again. Well, I'd love to hear as we're winding down here a little bit. What's on the horizon for Design Pickle? What's happening in 2021? What are you excited about?
So, coming back to our story, I kind of alluded that we became a software technology company as we grew. Like I joke, we didn't think of like I didn't even have really real software until like 2 or 3 years in. There's a lot of legends that if you knew the early email addresses that we had of how to send in requests, you actually, there was no way to check to see if you were even a paying client. Like it's like you could hack Design Pickle and get designs done for free. We've since closed that loophole, but we have made a ton of investment in technology. So what we're looking forward actually now is, you know, this term creative enablement platform. We don't believe technology and AI is going to replace the creative process, but we do think it can be enhanced tremendously. And so that's where we're headed, is we're looking to build tools and technology. So if I come on to Design Pickle and I sign up, I might have a project or two that I need right away. But what happens when I'm done? We want our technology and software to be able to look at your industry, your business, you know, what you've done and recommend things, help support you in terms of, you know, strategy and ideas and actually enable you to create more and not just have that blank sheet kind of paralysis where it's like, okay, I got my Facebook ads done. I got my blog graphics done. Now what? It's like, hey, you're an e-commerce brand or you're doing this, you're a brick and mortar thing. How about we update this? Or did you know that restaurants are doing these kinds of ads and da 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 da? And so that to me is the most exciting part about where we're headed is that our platform, you know, it's like Netflix. You go to Netflix, you watch the one show, and then you find 40 more that are like, you've never heard of. There's like a Norwegian show that you've never would have ever found. And then you love it because Netflix knows you and it's recommending it. And that's where we're headed. And it gets me super excited. It's way over my head. Like I talk to our engineering leads and they're just like going off on these things. And I'm just like, sure, dude, whatever, like let's make it. But that's the future of Design Pickle is enabling people to create more, launching new services. So we'll be into motion graphics, video editing, presentation design. So that's all coming this year. So there's a lot of expansion of what we're doing and then improvement on how our clients can create.
That's exciting. Yeah, even in the video space, I mean, that's one that I even see, I see branching into even more, like beyond graphic design, if you want a video edited that you have, like hiring an entire agency to do that. I mean, not a lot of businesses can do that. That's exciting.
I mean, Thomas, if I had video work, if we had video services in 2015, I'd be like five times bigger than we are today. I've been getting asked for video since the first day we launched Design Pickle, and we're finally doing it. So
cool. Well, it takes time. It takes time to build something great, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's the thing. We have a brand promise we want to uphold. Like it's not just like one day, hey, we found some video editors. Now we do video. There's an experience with Design Pickle. We pride ourselves in consistency and quality. And, you know, you use us today or you use us in a year, it's going to be the same or better experience. And so it does take a lot of time to build these new services, because it's like Disneyland launching a new theme park or something. Like, there's that brand expectation. So there's so much detail that goes into ensuring that it's upheld as we expand.
So, and I'm just going to call it, so Design Pickle, Disneyland, I mean, pretty much same expectation.
You know, I am not at all saying that we're equitable brands, but I study Walt Disney quite a bit and study the business side. And I do actually use the analogy of what we're like. You know, hiring your own creative is like, it's like going, you know, you go to downtown Phoenix, you ask, hey, do you do design? You know, how about you? Like, anyone know someone I can hire? Like, it's very unknown. You never know what you're going to get. Maybe someone's referred to you, but they're not good or they're awesome. Whereas like for us, it's managed. It's like going to Disneyland. I've been going there. I have kids now. Like, I've been going there forever. Like, I know exactly what I'm going to get. And every time I go, it's better because they do new stuff. So we look at our model like a managed experience. You know, you're not going to have to worry about bids and contracts or hourly billing. All of our creatives are vetted and trained the same way. There's a platform that manages the whole experience. So you're not having to like sort through emails or have conversations and people misunderstand each other or there's there. So I like the analogy, although I'm very
humbled. I love it.
To know that we're definitely have a long ways to go before we're like a $26 billion company.
I love it though. I love it. Well, that's great. Russ, it has been an absolute pleasure having you on the show today. Thank you for sharing your story, your experience. Any last words you'd like to leave everybody with?
You know, Jen, thank you. Again, I love the work you guys do. I've been a fan of the organization for a long time. I would just say, you know, if anyone wants to follow our journey from my perspective, you can actually, I have a newsletter, not very frequent, maybe a couple times a year I put something out. It's just go to designpickle.com/under, as in under the lid, like a pickle jar lid.
Nice.
So that's the CEO newsletter, designpickle.com/under. And, you know, you won't get marketing messaging, you won't get sales stuff. That's truly just my own list. So if anyone wants to keep on our journey, I recommend they head over there.
Right on. We'll make sure to send it out. We hope you all listening were inspired today, listening to a local leader here working to leave a legacy in Arizona through doing good business. I'd like to thank our sponsors, Phoenix Business Radio, for hosting us, and all of our legacy partners at Local First, including Design Pickle. This is Thomas Barr from Local First AZ, reminding you that if we want to build a better Arizona, we need to connect deeply with the local businesses that make us proud to call this place our home.